All right.
Want to wait a minute and then get going, or
Sure. Yeah, let's just, I still see people popping in here, so let's give them a minute.
then Randy, go ahead and you can do an intro, and then I'll get going.
Yep, okay. So, good morning, everybody. I'm Randy Burton. I'm your regional director and also the problem one problem captain. And we're just what 3 weeks away from the tournament. So, that this is really about making sure that we help you be ready for the tournament. And we'll have plenty of time for question and answer. We'll talk a little bit about the venue and logistics and all that kind of stuff, and some of the things you need to do to be prepared for that. Tom Bojanski is with us. He's our problem five problem captain, and also been on our board of directors for quite a while. So, Tom, I will turn it over to you.
Great. Thanks, Randy. And thanks to each of you for taking some time on this Saturday morning to join us. And I hope it will be the next hour or so. I think we advertise it as an hour and a half. I think we'll be done before 11:30, but this is what Randy and I are doing this morning related to Odyssey of the Mind. So we're here as long as you need us to be. So today's agenda, as Randy already mentioned, 3 weeks from today, we will be at Wakefield High School, and the tournament will be well underway. And so we want to take some time to just help you prepare for. Yeah, go ahead and mute if you can. So just want to take some time. I've got a number of slides. Try not to death by PowerPoint, but this presentation you'll have to go through a number of slides of information. We'll take time for Q&A as we go. If you've got questions, just unmute and ask them. And Randy's also going to be monitoring a chat. You've got the option there on Zoom to put a question in there. But the things we want to cover, the big picture items, long-term, style, spontaneous, we'll go through those items, a few Odyssey of the Mind program reminders, some tournament day reminders, and then, as I mentioned, lots of time for Q&A. So Wakefield High School, March 7th, 3 weeks from today. Another item that is of less interest for you maybe, but for us it's important. There's judges training next week at this very time. All of the problem captains will be conducting training for the judges. You need to be aware of it to make sure that the person that you have identified on your team that's going to be serving as a judge is aware of that. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but that's a big picture item for us. I always like to remind folks, especially now as you get closer to the tournament time, that really we are a problem, creative problem solving program. So anytime you get with your students, your kids, that's what you need to be focusing on. We're trying to teach them creative problem solving, how to work in teams, collaboration, persistence, especially this time of year, 21 days. You got to keep working and read your long-term problem. Again, remind your kids to your students to read the problem. Especially every time before you meet, you'd be surprised what you can learn about the long-term problem and what you're aiming for by just reading through the problem. keep practicing spontaneous. Sometimes that has a tendency, and I'll mention this again later, you have a tendency to not focus on the spontaneous and practicing that because you're concerned about your skit and your props and all the things you're working on your long term. But keep practicing spontaneous. The other big picture item, another big picture item is check ncome.org for tournament information. Just keep checking that website. We'll put information from time to time on that. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about long term and style. It's worth 200 points to you and your team on tournament day. As I mentioned already before, keep reading the problem. That will be the mantra this morning as we go through this presentation. As you work toward finalizing your presentation, make sure your team is looking at section D of the problem. That's where you get section D is
Action
where
one B. Action
it tells you how many points you can get and where you're getting your points.
coordinates are all really close
Yeah,
together.
go ahead if you could. Yeah, thank you. So now is the time that you should be rehearsing, and start working toward that. And when you're getting together, you've got to make sure that you're practicing that the presenting of your solution. Another good thing to check on are clarifications. Those are available at odysseythemind.com, as I mentioned there on that on the slide. Check public clarifications often. These are clarifications that Odyssey headquarters has posted. They're available to everyone, and every that give additional reminders about how the problem should be presented, what you should be using, what you should be referring to as you work toward developing your solution. If you have team clarifications, then you can submit those also, individual clarifications, questions that your team might have about a different long-term problem aspect. You have to submit clarifications by February 15th, which is tomorrow. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Everybody, if anyone has a question about clarifications, now would be the time to just ask about those.
Concentrate.
You know what they are, not about any specific clarification that you have for your team, but clarifications are important. And especially those public clarifications that are out there. All right. You can come back. We can come back and you can ask about those later if you have them. Okay. You have 8 minutes to present your long-term solution. And you do get timed. And so, and that's from the time that the judge says, "Team, are you ready? Team, begin." That's when your 8 minutes starts. Know that in problem three and problem five, you have up to an extra minute to present your solution, although there is a penalty. There are penalties that are highlighted in section B3 and E6 of your problem description. So just make sure that, as I mentioned earlier, rehearse, make sure you're aiming toward that 8 minutes. Another long-term item to mention is to consider creating and bringing a repair kit to your to on tournament day. Those are things that, if you need drills or screwdrivers or duct tape or whatever you think might be helpful because things happen between the time you take your stuff out of your garage and family room and basement, if you have one, into your car, things break, and you need to have items that will help you help the team fix anything that gets broken or damaged. All right. Style. Style is worth 50 points. That's part of your long-term solution. Those are the style items that you need to identify are referenced in section F of each problem description. There are two required items that are identified in your in problem in the in each problem in section F that you need to put on the style form. We'll talk about style form a little bit later. There's also two free choice items. That's whatever the team wants to decide. The team decides what they are going to be, and just make sure that those free choice items are not scored elsewhere in section D. Okay, so there are other unique items to your solution that your team wants to place and be placed on that form and be judged as part of that your long-term solution. Then there's also one overall effect, the overall effect of items 1 through 4. Again, we're going to talk about the style form in a little bit in a lot more detail in a few minutes later on in the presentation.
So, Thomas, Randy, one more thing on clarifications. If a general clarification from Odyssey of the Mind comes out less than 2 weeks away from our tournament, we will not hold teams responsible for adhering to that clarification. So let's say that, a week before our tournament, they come out with a clarification that says, if your alien character is wearing a hat, it can't be purple. Okay, then, and that came out a week ahead of the tournament. Then we would not hold you accountable to that. And if you had a purple hat on your alien, that would be just fine at that tournament. At the next level of competition, if you advance to the state tournament, for example, we would hold you to adhering to whatever that clarification is.
Thanks, Randy. We'll keep working on that purple hat, right? I'm not aware of, well, never mind. So on style, just review chapter 3 of the program guide. And that's something that you can do as coaches, pages 20 to 22 in the program guide. Gives you information about style and how it's evaluated, what kinds of things to consider. And so it would be good for you as a coach to review that so that you can help your team complete that style form and decide what style items they want judged. Okay. Any questions on this page so far? Either long term or style. And don't be shy. This is the time to ask the questions. All right, let's talk a little bit about spontaneous. Spontaneous is worth 100 points on tournament day. You need to keep practicing. Again, as I mentioned earlier, as we get you're 21 days from the tur we're 21 days from the tournament. You have a tendency to kind of focus on long term because it's worth 200 points, and there's a lot of things that need to be done. But spontaneous is an important part of the competition. So just keep practicing. There are three different types of problems. You don't know what type of problem your team is going to get, so you just got to keep practicing all different types. Suggestion: just re there's a spontaneous coaching guide available on in the member area. It'd probably be worthwhile for you as a coach to take some time and review that coaching guide and just some hints about the different types of problems and how to present them, how they're evaluated, those kinds of things. So make sure that you might want to consider looking at in the member area and looking at that information. All right, a few OM, Odyssey of the Mind program reminders. Team forms. I'm gonna go through this slide and then I'm gonna come back to the team forms and show you what those are. If you don't know what the team forms are, this is a good time to get familiar with it. But we'll go over a few we'll go through each of the forms that are presented on tournament day. The team forms that you need to every problem and each team needs to prepare and present on tournament day a list of a group of forms, and those are referenced in section H in the program description. The forms are available. You don't have to create them. We tell you what you need to complete, and those are available again in the team on the team section and in the member area under forms. Okay, there's four copies that you need to present again on tournament day, four copies each of the team list and the style form, one copy each of the cost form and outside assistance, and one copy of any team-specific clarification. So if you have been issued a clarification, if you sent in a clarification, if you submitted one to Odyssey of the Mind and they responded back, you need to bring that copy with you, one copy of that clarification. You don't need to bring copies of the general clarifications. The judges are aware of those and they'll have copies of them, but any team specific clarification. Okay, again, I'm gonna pull up each of the team forms in a few minutes, but let me give you a few, let's go over a few other program reminders before we get back to that detailed form discussion. You need a membership sign. Each team does need a membership sign. Program guide, again, chapter 5, talks about the membership sign and what's required. For those of you who've been coaching a few years, you'll remember when we used to need you needed to put a membership number on the sign. That the membership number is no longer required. But again, read the program guide, pages 41 and then 47 and 48, and you'll get all the information you need to have about the membership sign. Another program reminder at this point, again, 21 days, make sure you're communicating with your parents and other coaches about the tournament schedule, what lunch, snacks, whatever you need to do. To keep your parents informed. Okay. Another program reminder, these are just general helpful hints. Props, costumes, where are they? Who's in charge of bringing them? You need to start kind of accumulating all those things because they're probably spread out in different homes. Part of your preparation, your team's preparation, is just making sure that everything is going to show up on Saturday morning, March 7th. I would also remind you, I've already mentioned this several times, but as a coach, reread the program guide. Don't worry about chapters 1 and 2, the program guide. That's all about forming your team and different divisions and so forth. But chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6 are important. So you might want to pull that up from honestythemind.com and reread the program guide. There's lots of hot, helpful hints. You really can't solve the problem and participate successfully without reading the program guide. So, coaches, go ahead and review it. Last program reminder, I mentioned this earlier. Next week, at this very time, a week from now, we'll be going through judges training. So just make sure that your judge rep is aware of that training. Information's being sent out to those judges. We're identifying the teams and finalizing the judging teams. So just make sure that your judge knows to show up next week for training. It's on Zoom. An email, a text, a phone call would be, we would appreciate that you're reminding them. They're getting reminders from us, but a reminder from you would be helpful. All right. Let's take some time to go through, we mentioned up here, and you can see the first point with team forms. So I'm going to go through each form quickly. And hopefully you'll gather some information from this that will be helpful. All right. At the risk of outside assistance, which I don't want to do, I want to go through the forms. When we talk about forms, these are the things that are important to us as program directors, on tournament day. We have forms because we want to award as many points as we possibly can to your team who've been preparing for months. And we judge every division and problem has multiple teams coming through. The judges see those teams, and we want to know what you're going to be presenting. So we ask for these different forms. Now, this one is a style form. I'm starting with it because it seems to be the one that if we're going to have problems, style, and Randy may, you may disagree with, you may have some input on this too, but the style form sometimes doesn't get completed properly. And so it kind of confuses us as judges. So this is an example. I like lighthouses. So I'm assuming that, like, if I was going to be, I'm on the wonderful middle school team, as you can see up there in the heading. And and I'm a Division II, put the coach's name, all that other stuff is important. But what we're focusing on is these four or five, excuse me, five style items. And in problem five, which is the one that I am judging, sometimes this is an example of, what we might see that it is confusing to us. Sometimes what happens is style item one in problem five is the creative use of one or more sound effects multiple times during the performance. So sometimes what happens is the form gets completed and then that's all it says. All right. What we want is the specific use of the sound effect. So that's why I've crossed out. We don't want to see just creative use of one or more sound effects. Put what the actual sound effect is. And I'm making this up, the foghorn. All right. Same thing with item two. In problem five this year is the visual appearance of a costume worn by a character other than the John Givory character. Okay, so again, on the style form that we get, sometimes it just lists that. It just says visual appearance of a costume. So again, I've crossed it out and it's like the lighthouse keeper. We want to see the specific costume. So just write that down. You can be as, specific as you want to be. And then the same thing with the free choice. Don't just put free choice, free choice. We want to know what that is The judges need to know about it. It's going to be checked in the staging area when you first check in. So, I'm making something up here. The artistic quality of the rock wall. And this the second free choice item is the song sung by the lighthouse keeper's daughter. All right. So we need to know that so that our judges can then be looking for that in the presentation and then asking questions about it after your performance. And then the overall effect of the four style elements. That's a summary that goes in this area. Hopefully you can see my cursor, that blank area. That's where you would write or type what the overall effect is. All right. Does that make sense? I'm going to take some time right here just to stop and see if there are any questions about the style form.
Yeah, Tom, there's a question in the chat that says, can you clarify the last style element, overall effect of 1 to 4? What are the judges looking for in that style element?
What we are looking for is a description of the things that you want us to look for, and it's basically a tie-in of how those other four style items accent what your solution is. How are they, like in this example, you can see that it's a lighthouse, kind of a lighthouse theme. Maybe it's like what's the beginning, the origin story of of lighthouses in general. So those four different, items, a style category 1 through 4, you see foghorn and the lighthouse keeper, the rock wall that's around the lighthouse. How do all those four style items kind of what, just like it says there, how do they enhance the overall solution? So it's a summary. It can be whatever the team is trying to achieve, we want to know about it. I don't know if that helps. Yeah, it's a summary, and it has, it's the team's summary. Again, this is not something that the coach fills out. It's it's whatever the team wants us to know as judges.
Yeah, so Tom, there's another question about who can fill out the forms.
All right. Well, I'll take a stab, and Randy, you can correct me if you need to. This form needs to be filled out by the team. Division one, the coach can actually write it. Okay. Division two and three, it has to be completed by someone on the team, and that, physically filling it out. And you can make sure as a coach if it's legible, that kind of thing, but it needs to be completed by the team, or a team member. Again, division one. And if I get, we have forms for primary too, don't we?
We do.
Yeah, they can fill it, the coach can fill it out.
So for Division One, the coach can do like type the form in on a computer or handwrite it so that it's legible to the judges, but all they can do is write down what the team says. So the team still has to decide on the style elements. The coach is just writing down what they say.
Right. Yeah. There's a method to our madness. We want to teach, we want to teach our kids how to fill out forms and, make the decision on what goes on it. So yeah, hope that helps. All right. We can come back to this if we need to. The next form is the cost form. Well, wait a second. Let me go back up here. Remember, four copies. Why do we need four copies? We might have four style judges, and each one of them gets a copy of the style form, and that so that they know what to look for, what to ask the students about. So the style form is four copies. The cost form, we just need one copy. And how do you fill out the cost form? This is actually a cut and paste. on the website on under in odysseyofthemind.com and then member area, under forums. This is an Excel spreadsheet, so it does all the math for you in this column, and you have to fill out the what type of item it is, what you're using it for, where is it located, is it in props, is it in a backdrop. But this form gets completed again by the team. They get to decide what the value is of those items that are seen in the presentation that you have on tournament day, the total cost of all the items in your solution. Pages 43 to 45 of the program guide give you lots of information on how to value those items that go on the cost form. So make sure you read through that and are aware of that before you fill out that form. Remember that you don't put on this cost form if you're in Randy's problem and you're problem one and you're making a vehicle and there's been a bunch of things that you use to make the vehicle go, but they're broken. You don't put the cost of the total cost of everything you've spent during the year. It's just the cost for the items that the judges see on tournament day in that presentation. Hope that makes sense. Sometimes people get confused about that. So one copy. We only need one copy of the cost form. This is an example of this year problem five. If you have problem five coaches out there, you've seen this form, I hope. It's the team list. We need four copies of that because we might have four judges that are what we call problem judges. They're evaluating the actual performance, your solution, the presentation of your solution on tournament day. So we need a copy for each judge so that they can look at it. And these are, you can see I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but this is a team form. And the team has to fill this out. If you're Division One, you can actually help them physically complete the form, whether it's typing it or writing it. But you can only put what the team tells you to put for each of those questions. Okay, so four copies of the team form. The team list outside assistance. You fill out with all the team information. Every team member and coach has to put their name at the bottom, and then you just indicate if you've had any outside assistance. If the team has had any outside assistance during the program year. One copy of that. All right. And then the last, we don't see a lot of this because there's frankly not a lot of clarifications that teams submit, but it's possible. And this is just an example of what you would see if you submitted a clarification and got an answer back. It's your question, it's the answer that came from Odyssey. We need to know of that, know if there's a clarification. We just need one copy of any team specific clarification. All right. Before I move on, let's see if there are any questions about that. Anything related to forms? One of the very first things that will happen on tournament day is, you'll see a staging judge, and the staging judge is responsible for, making sure everybody's there, the team is there, you've got, shoes on, and then they'll go through your forms with you. So, have a stack with you. You might want to keep one extra copy just to have, on file in case you need it later on down the road, but we need We need four copies of the style form, one copy of the cost form, four copies of the team list, one of the outside assistants, and then any team clarifications. Questions? Don't be shy. I've worked as a staging judge for many years, and having your forms ready is important. And if you don't have them, the staging judge is going to help you complete them, but then it gets complicated, and kids get anxious if the forms aren't, if they find out that the forms aren't there. So just, pay some attention to this. It's really nice when all the forms come and the staging judge doesn't have to track them down. And it, believe me, it's really helpful for you too, as a team, as a coach, if you have all this stuff done before you get to the staging area. All right. No questions? All right.
I have a quick question.
All right.
I am a Division I coach. Most of my team is third graders, and I even have a little bit of difficulty estimating, like, for the cost form, like how much tape has been used for this one thing. Is that, as best a guess as we can get? And I mean, how much are we allowed to help them value everything? I just would love some more clarity on that.
Yeah, good question. That was Sarah, right? All right.
Yes.
Brandy, you want to take a stab at that one?
Yeah. So,
Put you
hang
on the
on a second.
spot there.
Yeah. No, I was getting texted on my cell phone here. I'm sorry. Just re repeat the question one more time for me.
Just on the cost form,
Oh
as far as valuing items and knowing, like, especially for like duct tape and, little things, it's hard to calculate value.
So for little things like duct tape or screws or nuts and bolts or anything like that, you can put just one line on item on there that says miscellaneous duct tape, screws, nuts, bolts, whatever, and just give a value. I mean, duct tape is
Yeah,
like a penny probably, right? Because an entire roll of duct tape is not much, and you probably didn't use that much of it, right? So that's why we let you do that for just those little miscellaneous kinds of things. Hot glue, duct tape, nuts, bolts, screws, any of those kind of just little items that I would just put a single line item on there. For the other things, if it's something that you bought, it's real easy because whatever you paid for it, you use that cost, you got the receipt or whatever. If it's more of a yard sale value kind of item because it's something that, some scrap wood or some scrap whatever, just use your best judgment as what you think you would likely pay for something like that at a scrap exchange or at a yard sale or something like that. As long as it's reasonable, we're not going to get right down into the nitty-gritty of, okay, well, you said that you used this scrap lumber and it was, $3 worth of value at a yard sale, and we think it's four. I mean, we're just simply not going to do that, right? It's still, the first thing that we look for is whatever we see that you brought, it should be on the cost form somewhere, unless it's an exempt item that's covered in the program guide. So if it's on there, that's great. And then we're just going to take a quick sanity check of, does that look reasonable to us? As long as it does, we're good. So just use kind of your best judgment of what you think you would likely pay at a yard sale or a a scrap exchange or something like that. So does that help?
It does, and we are allowed as coaches to help them. Like my team would have no idea what a garage sale price is
Abs
for,
yes. Yes.
whatever. Okay,
Absolutely.
thank you.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
The I was trying to think if I there is a section in the program guide on costs, and that those read through that, and that will give you a really good idea. One of the other things I think that's worthwhile to mention is are things like let's say you have a musical instrument that is used in your presentation, a clarinet or a drum or sometimes even a laptop. A computer sometimes is shown. There are set costs for that. I think a musical instrument is $5. It's not the actual cost of a, you know, of the, of, it's not the actual cost. We allow some forgiveness there. But that information is also, it needs to go on the cost form. And if it's not, we'll have to adjust the cost form, or you would. But the judges will help you through that. But just know that they're in the program guide, there's information that helps you, to cost out those items, and you can work with your team on that. Just make sure that you've read through that as a coach before you fill that form out. All right. Other questions? All right. A few more things about on tournament day. Expect lots of energy.
I'm sorry, Tom. Before we move on, I just was looking through. I was trying to find it in the program guide as you were talking. Scraps of wood, that's in here as exempt. Is that correct?
Yeah, now it's Randy. So I yes, if it's like a little piece of wood, right? But if we see something that's built that has lots of wood, then we'd expect to see that on there as not just exempt cost, right? Does that make sense?
It does. I don't love it. No, just
Well, I mean, if they've got an elaborate thing built with lots and lots of 2x4s and plywood and all that kind of thing, then that's different than a 3-inch piece of 1x4 that they use to connect two things, and that's the only piece of wood they have, right?
okay. Ours is like somewhere in between that, so we'll give it a value just to be on the safe side.
Well, and to that point, Natalie, in using Randy's example, if you have a backdrop that is made of 2x4s, and your team decided that you were going to go to Home Depot or Lowe's and buy all new lumber, well, there you go. I mean, you're going to have to claim that cost. But
Right.
if you dove somewhere, dumpster dived. I don't know how what's the proper verb tense, but there's and that's part of the problem solving is okay, we only have whatever the amount is for your particular problem, $135 or $145. It's like what's the best way to do that? We're teaching the kids how to be creative with their resources. So, if the only option is to go to Home Depot, well, then that's going to use up a lot of your costs. But if there's a new house being built down the road and they've got the dumpster that has leftover 2x4s, that's going to be a different value, and you've got
Yeah,
to
and
explain it.
that was what it was. It was like pieces of scrap, but then they constructed the scrap into something. So,
Yeah. So just,
Yeah.
work through that. You look at the program guide, what does it tell you? And then make that evaluation.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right.
There were a couple of questions in there in the chat about the, cardboard boxes and that sort of thing. And I answered in the chat, but cardboard generally would be considered trash. If it's a, part of an Amazon box, if it's a shoe box, that kind of thing, those are things we would commonly expect to be discarded or recycled, and so that they would be exempt from costs.
Using another example in problem one, Randy, I think it's a small vehicle this year, right?
That's right.
Right. So, depending on how the team decided to power their vehicle, the what we're going to look at and judge is somewhere on that form is going to be whatever the mechanism is to help the vehicle go, and we're going to be looking for stuff like that, and making sure it's on the form and that it, there's some there's cost associated with it. All right, we can come back to that if we need to. Let's move on. So, tournament day, March 7th. Expect lots of energy. I used to say organize chaos, but I'm trying to be more positive. So a lot of energy. There's going to be some crazy looking things on tournament day, so expect that. There's 760 70 plus teams. They're all going to be there, parents, fans. It's going to be it's going to be high energy, so just be prepared, coaches, for that. If you've been there before, you know what I'm talking about. So just this is a fun day. This is a fun day for us as coaches or as judges, and we want it to be a fun day for all of you. So you just expect that there's lots of energy. Manage team and parent expectations. The kids are going to be excited. There's going to be some anxiety. Not just for you as coaches, but for the kids and parents. So just be aware of that. Some things are going to go wrong. So, that's part of the creative problem solving process. So just know where you know the kids where there are pressure points, and the parents too. So just be aware of that. At the end of the day, we keep score. The two teams from each problem and division go on to the next level. So there, some of your teams may not advance to the state tournament, and they're going to be disappointed maybe. So just be aware of that and be manage what those expectations are and your team's emotions. A few more long-term competition logistics. I put this out P4. You have an extra step, and you have a weigh-in, right? Every team does a long-term performance, presents their long-term solution, and then a spontaneous. Problem four has that, but you also have a weigh-in. We have to weigh your structure, and that's before your long-term. So just know that. And it's on the schedule. It's scheduled for you, so just be aware of that. All teams, all problems and divisions, plan on unloading your props, your backdrops, if you're problem one, your balsa wood structure. Be unloaded 30 to 45 minutes ahead of your scheduled start time for your long-term solution. That's just a general, you got to be there. Don't come screaming in 5 minutes before. If you can ha if you can arrange it, don't, come 30 to 45 minutes ahead of time. Don't come too much earlier than that, because there are other teams. Unless you're the first team in your division and problem to to present, there are going to be teams around you, and there are going to be teams after you. So we have to kind of manage the flow. It's like air traffic control. Be careful and mindful of the surroundings and other teams, right? Yeah, as I mentioned, there are teams usually performing before you and after you. We have to be respectful. Make sure your team is aware of that. Don't step on anybody else's props. That causes problems. Arrive 20, when I say here the check-ins, there's a staging judge. There'll be signs everywhere to help you get to where you need to go. But once you unload everything, then just be around the staging area and where your long-term problem is presented about 20 minutes. There'll be judges and officials looking for you. But just make sure you're actually in the area of your competition about 20 minutes before your scheduled competition time. Here's one that actually throws people off. That's why I have it in red. So anybody you want, parents, family, friends, can help transport all your things for your long-term solution right up into the staging area. Some people think, they can't touch them once you arrive at Wakefield High School. That's not true. Anybody can carry the stuff up to all the way into the staging area. There is a risk in that, right? That things can get damaged or broken or whatever. But you can still the team is going to be they're going to be very mindful not to break stuff. But know that you, as parents and support folks, can carry all that stuff all the way up into the staging area. So what happens is once you get checked in, the staging judges the has checked you all in, made sure your forms are all set and they're correct. We'll usher you. The judge will usher you into the competition area. There's generally a line that is set off physically. You'll know where the team is right before they start. The announcer will say, "Judges, are you ready?" And hopefully the judging team is ready. And then, "Team, are you ready? Team, begin." Right, and then the magic happens, and the team presents their solution, off you go. So that's kind of some initial logistics. This is a busy slide, but regarding some of the logistics, this map is available on ncome.org under the tournament link. And this is Wakefield High School. We have one of the things I'd like to mention is see the blue icons there. There are there are prop drop areas set aside for each problem. We do that so that you can move all your stuff in a way that gets you closer to the competition area. And you don't have to manage through taking it through the main entrance and all that. But so take a look at that map and just know where you need to be. You can see arrows. You can see the way we've used Wakefield High School many years. We kind of have the routine down so that it's easy for you as teams to get in and out of the performance where the performance area is. So just take a look at that map. Know where the prop drops are. You can see that we try to have you come we have you come in on off Old Falls Noose Road, drop off your props and then exit back. And then there's lots of parking available for those who if you've been to Wakefield High, you know there is parking. If you've not, we've got a large parking area that is available for everyone. So take a look at that map. Notice one thing Lexi Groner wanted us to mention specifically. We have like four or five, six food trucks that are going to be on site. It's in this area here where the buses are. So you got to eat during the day. Many of you will bring your own food, but know that there's going to be some food trucks there. All right. So take a look at that map. Become familiar with where you're gonna, where you're gonna be.
So Tom, go back to that for just one second, if you don't mind.
Yep.
One of the things we're doing this year is we're going to have a specific classroom designated as a quiet room specifically for kids who are neurodiverse and can't handle sometimes the hustle and bustle and commotion that's going on out in the hallways and so forth. If you have a team member that needs to take advantage of that, we're reserving that room just for that purpose. And just let us know, and we can show you where that is, and help you get them, calm down and so forth. We got a lot of feedback from coaches that felt like that was something that they would utilize. So we're doing that. In general, on tournament day, if you need to find the quiet room, if you need to find me, if you need to find Lexi Groner, who's our tournament director, one of the things we do every year is the local ham radio operators volunteer their time, and they come and all of us tournament officials, Tom will have one, I will have one, Lexi has one, all of the tournament officials have a ham assigned to them. They're walking around with headsets and microphones on, kind of like what I've got on, and little, shortwave radios that are literally not much bigger than a cell phone. But if you need something and you see somebody wearing a headset like that with a radio on their belt, just go over there and ask them and say, "Hi, I need to get in touch with Randy. I need to get in touch with Tom. I need to get, whatever you need." And they form sort of our communication, network for tournament day. As you know, a lot of schools have are sort of notorious for not having good cell phone coverage in there. So we found that using that is a really good way for us to communicate. And so feel free to take advantage of that. As Tom said earlier, just, I mean, anything that you need on tournament day, just find us and ask us, and we'll be happy to help.
Thanks, Randy. All right. Almost done. A few more long-term competition logistics. So after the performance, after the team presents their long-term solution, there's still opportunity for your team to showcase what they've done. The judging team comes up after the performance is finished, and they spend I don't know, 3 to 4 minutes asking the team to about their performance. They've been trained, the judges have been trained just to ask questions of the team, to have them talk about what just happened, and this is important. And you can tell your team this as they prepare. It's like, hey, afterwards the judges are going to ask you. They're going to ask a bunch of questions. Tell us about this prompt. Tell us about what whatever it might be related to your performance, or when you presented your solution. That is a time for just the team members to talk to the judges. Coaches can't be up there. Parents, grandma, Aunt Sally is not going to be allowed up there. The judges will shoo you away if that happens, and believe me, it does happen. But that's the time for the team to to still showcase what's just happened. So make sure you let your team members know that that's going to happen after their performance. Okay. After that time, then you got to move. After the judges will let the team know, okay, we're done. They'll find the coach and say, all right, off you go. And just like all the people, all your family and friends and neighbors, helped you move the stuff in to the long-term solution beforehand, you can move all that stuff out, and anybody can help move it out. In fact, the more the better, because there's another team right behind you. We have the long-term presentation scheduled every 20 minutes, to begin every 20 minutes. So we're on a tight schedule. So anybody who can help move things out, including cleaning up if there's any debris on the presentation in the presentation area, you can help with that. But just know that, out you go. Make sure you celebrate your team's performance afterwards. It's nerve-wracking for everybody. And it's like, hey, that was great. Make sure you celebrate. About 45 minutes after the presentation is over, you're going to get the scores for long term and style will be available. And I say approximately 45 minutes. It might be a little bit longer, but you'll get scores, and you'll get all that information as you go through check-in. But you'll sit down with the head judge, a coach. Only coaches, please don't bring your team members. It's just better if it just is discussed with that meeting is just with the coaches and the head judge. That they'll go over your long-term and style scores with you. Spontaneous logistics, okay, separate item. There's an area, but actually it's right when you come in the building, the main entrance to the left, same as it has been the last couple of years. The competition area for spontaneous. There's a check-in area right there, so come in about 10 minutes before your scheduled time, and just let the check-in people know that you're there. I would suggest that for spontaneous, as you're preparing for that, that you have some warm-up activities available, things to kind of keep your team and high, energized for the spontaneous competition. They go to check-in, and then there's after someone will come and get the team, and that's the team and one coach can go into the holding room, and then they go in from there. Someone will come and get them and take them to the competition room where they'll perform their spontaneous problem. The holding room, again, team and one coach, and then the competition area is just the team only. Okay. Afterwards, you'll see them. The team will come out that same area, that check-in area. And you'll want to say, what type of problem did you have? Nope, can't do that. We want to keep the playing field level as much as we can. So it's important that you don't talk about what kind of problem they had, because there are teams behind performing afterwards, generally. And we don't want anybody to find out what their problem was. The score for spontaneous happens, you don't get that, unlike the long term. You won't find out what that score is until after the tournament. They'll be posted on NCOME.org. Just a final word about some tournament day. You'll have time to watch other teams, so I encourage you to do that. If you're a problem, or if you're a Division One team, watch a couple Division Two or Division Three teams that are in your same problem. If you're a problem three, go and watch a problem four or a problem one. We're going to have the passport again, right, Randy?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So there's a passport. There's a little, you can you can get a list of the different problems and divisions that are competing, and if teams that go in and get if you watch that performance, you can get a little sticker from one of the officials, and then once you've completed that passport, there's a small gift available at the where sales are, and some of the where pins will be available. So just, I encourage you to watch other teams and problems and see how they solved their problem and the creativity that was exhibited. There's an award ceremony in the gym, the main gym, that's going to start about 4 o'clock. Have fun during the day. The top two teams in each problem and division advance to the state tournament. In Boone, that's on March 28th. So you'll find that out at the award ceremony.
Tom, there's a question in the chat about some examples of warm up activities before a spontaneous problem.
Well, I have some ideas, but there's some coaches who have done this before. I'd be interested in what your teams do before, spontaneous as you're getting ready for that. Don't be shy. Any coaches have some ideas of what they do? Oh, come on.
Our team typically doesn't do warm-ups, but we may this year. Typically, we've just had them relax, keep it fun, be light, like just, be calm and just kind of have a good time. Like, just because normally our team has been so nervous, I haven't wanted to add on extra warming up kind of things. It's been more like, let's just be really encouraging and light and fun during that time.
Okay. Anybody else? That's a warm-up activity. Your warm-up activity is let's be calm. You might want to get them aside. I mean, a suggestion I would have, and I'm just looking at, what our teams used to do many years ago, is we'd get together, we'd get aside from the masses, if you will, get in a circle, and you might say, all right, name things that are blue, name thing yellow, and they just go around, kind of like a verbal problem. You might also say, okay, what are some techniques that we need to be aware of in a spontaneous problem? If it's a hands-on, what are we going to do? What, how are we gonna respond? What have we practiced as a team? Just kind of reminders. But the main thing is you just get people away from the crowds and just take a time to, do some relaxing, reminding of the things that you've practiced. Randy, does that help?
Yeah, I think that's good.
All right, you're going to be getting emails, just a couple of last reminders. Between now and then, you're going to be getting emails from Lexi, and Randy, and maybe your problem captain. I know I sent out an email earlier this week to all the Problem 5 teams, just some initial things to keep in mind related specifically to problem five. Be looking for those emails and information on ncome.org, Facebook. You see reminders, examples of spontaneous problems you can do. So just be aware of the media presence and be looking for that information. All right, questions?
Hi, this is Claire Meisinger. I have a quick question. First of all, I just want to say to Randy, Lexi, and you, Tom, thank you so much for all you do. I know that this is a lot to manage, and I personally have been a pain. So I just really appreciate all you do to organize the tournament. But my question is around kind of speaking to parents about the logistics of the day. Leaving after our part of the competition is over and coming back in time for the award ceremony, kind of how to manage that communication and what is a reasonable amount of time to tell people they have before, going to get something to eat and coming back and all of that.
Randy?
Yeah, sure. So, first of all, as far as food options are concerned, there are, as Tom mentioned, there are going to be some food trucks on site. There are quite a few restaurants. If you go on Google Maps, you'll see them. I mean, there's plenty of fast food. There's a couple of Mexican restaurants. There's a Carolina Ale House that's not far away. There's a pizza place called Milton's that we always go to after the tournament. So there's plenty of food options around there. With that school, there is like tons of parking. So let me actually share my screen here. So this is Google Maps of the school area. This is that little circle that's on the maps on our website, and the main entrance to the school is there. But you can see there is all of this parking in these two huge parking lots here. So there's tons of parking, and then from there down Wakefield Pines Drive or Old Falls and News, you can get to restaurants very easily. So the award ceremony will start at 4 o'clock, and we'll start bringing the teams in at 4 o'clock. We're going to do that a little bit differently this year than the last couple of years. If you've been there before, we had all of the teams line up in kind of that small hallway behind the gym, and it was just too crowded. Too much chaos back there. So we're going to be having them come in the front doors of the gym that are right there where the cafeteria is and the main hallway that leads right out to the front door here. If they want to come back for the award ceremony, I would say, 10 minutes till 4 is fine because that just gives them a little bit of time to walk from the parking lot into the school and then find a seat. The award ceremony is in the big gym, at the main gym at the school, and seating is on bleachers on both sides of the gym. And that gym is really good size, so there's plenty of seating there. So it's not like they're going to have to look around for a place to sit. So that'll be easy. That award ceremony will go fairly quickly. We recognize that it's kind of the end of a long day, that you would like to get through that and get out and get on to home and so forth, and that's fine. If they're coming back for the award ceremony, 10 minutes till 4 is fine. Give them a few minutes to walk in from the parking lot and get seated, and I think they're good. Does that answer all your questions, or do you,
Yes,
yeah.
that's great. One final thing is if say there's the first part of their competition starts at like noon, how much would you say in advance of their particular competition should they arrive? Are you trying to get
Yeah.
everyone to arrive?
Yeah. Because there are so many people there and there is so much noise there, we have doorkeepers that will shut the doors to the competition when the team is ready to start performing. And we don't open those until they're done because, again, in the kind of the main hallway at the school, we're going to have somewhere close to 2,500 to 3,000 people at that school on the day. And there's just too much noise. So if those doors are open, there's too much distraction for the kids that are trying to perform. So they need to be there inside the room and seated, you know, a few minutes before their performance. So I try to arrive at the site maybe 15 minutes ahead of the scheduled performance time, so they can make sure so that's at the door to the site, and probably another 10 minutes ahead of that to find a place to park, get walked into the school, find where the specific venue is for whatever problem it is that they're doing. So all that together, I'd say maybe arrive at the parking lot at least 30 minutes ahead of the team's scheduled performance time, then get in and get settled and get a seat. There is generally plenty of seating at the sites, so that they shouldn't have a problem with not having a place to sit, because we have plenty of chairs, and problem one's in the main gym. We've got all the bleachers, so tons of things there. I think that the thing that I would ask everybody to do is to tell your kids, their siblings, parents, everybody, noise is a problem. And I look at just like problem one. You know how noisy wooden bleachers are in a school gym. And if there are kids that are running up and down the bleachers and whatever while a team is trying to perform, it's just loud. So we'll do our best to try to remind people to be quiet. But in general, I would just ask everybody to be respectful of the teams performing, not be coming in and out of the room. We won't let them anyway because the doors are going to be shut. But and try to be as quiet as possible. I know it's impossible for everybody to be quiet because everybody's got to talk, and there's so many people around that voices, tend to raise a little bit just so you can be heard. I get all that, but just ask them to try to be as quiet as possible during the team's performance. So does that help?
That's so helpful. Thank you, Randy.
Yep.
This is.
Yeah, I'll point out one more thing. While I've got the map up here that I'm sharing, this little road that goes behind the school is the road that you're going to use to those various prop drop locations that are on the map. There is no parking back here whatsoever. That is a restricted lot over here to kind of the southeast of the school, along that little road. So you can't park there. And so when you're going to drop off props, go stop the car, get the stuff out, and then somebody needs to drive the car on around over to the main parking area, because there's just not room for a lot of cars back here. Okay.
And those prop drop areas will be designated. There'll be signage. Hopefully, there'll be at least one volunteer out there, kind of directing traffic. And Randy, there was a question about, well, this gets back to a couple of minutes ago. Before the award ceremony, we will parade. That we will have a parade going into the gym. So yeah, and you'll,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to parade into the gym. We're just going to be coming in what I'm calling the front doors of the gym rather than those back doors, and trying to keep, that mayhem has gone on in that back hallway the last couple of years. We think this will be a little bit better. It's also a pretty confined space back there, and some of our team members that are neurodiverse have had real issues back there in that hallway. So I think having them come in the front doors in that main area where the cafeteria is and so forth, I think will help.
Yeah. And the parade is for team members and coaches.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody else, come on in and
They'll be already in.
be seated. But for team members and coaches, we'll have you guys sort of parade in, and we'll announce the teams as they come into the gym, as we have in years past. Natalie, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was just, this is a thing I noticed last year. And maybe only because we were Division 3 in Problem 5, When people start leaving during the ceremony, I felt like it was a little bit discouraging to some of those kids who have worked just as hard as those kids in problem one. I know like primary teams, they're so little. Like that is understandable if those teams need to leave and people have to leave. I'm not trying to boss anyone around, but I could see how the team was getting a little every time like a big team would kind of like walk out, they're like, oh, because I think they deserve to be clapped for and cheered on. And so I just encourage everyone to stay if they can.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Natalie. And we will make that announcement at the beginning of the award ceremony that we are requesting that everybody stay until the end so that we can all recognize the teams that are being recognized towards the end of the award ceremony. It's going to be comfortable in there. There's plenty of room. We're not going to be packed in there like sardines. I think it's just respectful to the other teams to stay there and encourage them when they're recognized. So thanks for that, Natalie. And yeah, we will absolutely remind coaches of that. Aaron, I see you have your hand raised.
Just wanted to check on the prop unloading. Originally, I was going to ask about the driving around the back thing, which it sounds like we're still doing. But last year, I noticed lots of teams unloading in the front and bringing in big old huge things in the front, and which is actually sort of easier. Is that an option, or is it just people were doing what they were doing?
Yeah, so we really can't keep people from doing that, because we just don't have enough, volunteers to stop them from doing that. I think it's somewhat easier, depending on what problem you're doing, to have direct access to the hallway, so to speak. And I'm sharing the map again. If you look on our tournament map, we'll have those prop drop locations, indicated. But for like problem one, there's direct access to the back of the gym back here, so there's no reason to need to park way up here in this parking lot and carry all of that stuff all the way to the front door and in and down the hallway and into the gym when you can just unload it and take it right in the back. And the same applies to the other problems. So I would encourage you to use those prop drop locations, but we're not going to stop you from carrying it in the front door if you decide to do that.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Those prop drop areas are really there for to really help out the team, because you don't really want to be coming in that front door with everybody else. So use the prop drop area.
I would be worried personally if I were a coach about stuff getting damaged, because there are going to be hundreds of people in that big hallway, outside where the cafeteria is and the drink machines and all that kind of stuff. There's just so many people there, and if you have to carry your stuff past all of those people and down another hallway and so forth, I'd be a little worried about stuff getting damaged just in the process of coming in and out of there, because there's just so many people.
Other questions? All right. Well, you know where to find us. Be checking your emails, especially for the from problem captains. I love this stuff, and I am so excited to see the teams, all the stuff that you've been doing, working on, and we're excited as a Eastern Region board to see everybody on March 7th. Keep pressing on, and don't be shy with questions. Remember, if you want to send in a team clarification, you've got until tomorrow. I don't know if it's midnight, Randy, but don't be shy in asking the questions.
Yeah, it's 11:59 p.m.
Yeah. All right.
tomorrow night. So that system automatically shuts itself off at midnight. So if you try to do that at 12:01 a.m. on Monday morning, it's not going to go in. As Tom said, just please reach out on tournament day if you have issues, if something's not going right, or you need help with something. Find us, find Lexi, or find me. I'll be in the main gym most likely. Lexi will be kind of wandering around between the various sites. But again, those ham radio operators are our communication guys. So feel free to ask one of those to get in touch with us, or up at the registration desk, which is right where you come into the school. Ask there. But don't be shy about coming to us if you need help with anything. Okay.
And keep last reminder, make sure that you have a judge rep and then the volunteer. You know, that we didn't talk much about volunteers, but we need a lot of it takes a village to put on the tournament, and judges are important, but we also ask each team to provide someone who can serve as a volunteer. There's no training there, but you know, these are people that are helping direct traffic. Maybe you're helping in sales, maybe you're a door keeper. But make sure, you know, each team needs to provide one of those. I know you've probably been getting emails from Lexi on that for a while, but we need those people.
Yep.
Thanks.
So thank all of you for participating and coming and joining us this morning, and best of luck to your team, you and your teams. And like Tom said, I'm super excited about seeing everybody in 3 weeks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Randy, you might want to
Thank you.
stop the recording.